You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
I feel like Nobody is kind of an ironic name for a film with this many bodies in it. Had to start with something, you know.
You don't need nobody.
I thought my intros were bad. Jesus, man.
No, don't worry. Yours are still bad.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's the thing about whataboutism.
I feel like there's something to the bad pun or the dad joke that isn't completely about what you look like after you tell it. If you're like, just no expression, it works. People are like, what? Yeah. Was that even a joke? What was that? Did you mean to do that? But if you do it like where you're like, like Fozzie Bear, people are like, burn in hell, bastard.
If anybody isn't looking at the video, Chris is the ladder.
Little steps going up is what I'm saying. We're here to review Nobody. We're way late.
Yeah, I had people at work telling me how great this movie was. I was like, fuck you guys.
But here we are, finally reviewing Nobody now that you can watch it at home yourself. People are like, okay, fine, but what is Nobody? All right, so this is directed by Ilya Naishuller, who obviously is not a household name unless you live in Russia, where he's a founder of a very popular Russian indie rock band called Biting Elbows. Started his own production company, Versus Pictures. He got his start sort of in film with a music video he did for his band that became kind of an international success, that even like Darren Aronofsky was pointing it out and saying, man, have you seen this? This is great. But then he got really well known in 2015 when he made the film, acted in and composed the music for the movie Hardcore Henry, which is very much a indie but badass little action film that experimented with the idea of it being 100% first person shot action movie, single shot, which is crazy thing to do to yourself as a film director, but hey.
Yeah.
And it was pretty solid overall. So sure. When they said, oh, he's doing an action movie that's kind of John Wick-ish, I'm like, sure, I'd give that a try. And then they're like, oh yeah, the John Wick guy in question is Bob Odenkirk. I went, wait, what? So it's got to be like a satire, right? Whereas I really enjoyed this film overall, I think the one place where it doesn't get exactly what it wants is it kind of wants to be both a satire of action films, like a send-up of them, and be one. And I think it ends up falling prey to all the same problems that most action films these days fall into as well, including the John Wick franchise to some level. But that's just my side of it. I still had fun with this. Let's talk about Nobody. Joining me for this conversation is Wright.
Hello, everybody.
Nathan.
With Wright on my left, I guess.
Here, I'll change that.
Yeah, that's working so much better. Oh, God.
And Ben.
I'm not going to try camera gags. You just get to enjoy this.
Unsurprisingly, David Leitch, who is one of the directors of John Wick, is a producer on this, who's definitely, hey man, that guy's cool with other people just kind of taking his thing and running with it. What the hell? In fact, they've even gone, you know, we might cross this over with John Wick in the future. That's in discussion, believe it or not, which is weird.
Well, it's by the writer of John Wick,
who's also killing it on Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Derek Kolstad.
But Bob Odenkirk plays Hutch Mansell. There's got to be an internal joke in Mansell. The first third of this movie is kind of about a guy dealing with so many people expecting him to be this masculine person that he clearly is not. He has an unremarkable job. He's an office worker working for his father-in-law in like a warehouse. He clearly doesn't really have much in the way of friends. The movie starts with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, which is like same shit every day. His son doesn't respect him. He sleeps with a divider cushion between him and his wife in the bed, so it's clearly not much intimacy there at all. Only his little, very young daughter seems to really give a shit about him at all. One night, a couple, man and woman, break into the house and hold him at gunpoint, saying, give me money. He's like, look, man, I use a debit card. You can take what's here. But their son jumps down the stairs and jumps on one of them. He's like, get him, Dad! And Dad has his chance to take a swing. He's got the golf club, and then he stops and puts it down and goes, son, let him go. And son's like, what? So this incident is what sets off this thing that I thought this was going to be falling down at this point. Where okay, so this is the incident where everyone is like, Jesus, how pathetic. Even a cop afterwards is like, if it had been my family, whatever, man. So people are just kind of really like, fuck you, you non-masculine piece of shit. Weirdly, a little thing sets him off. His daughter is like, oh, I can't find my kitty bracelet. And he thinks they took her kitty bracelet, which is just the straw that broke the camel's back of all this, as he decides he is going to go find them and get the goddamn kitty bracelet back. But guess what? It doesn't really bring him the satisfaction that he wants. And that leads him to try and get some more satisfaction. Unfortunately, one of the people who happily showing up on a local city bus that he beats the living shit out of is the son of a major Russian mobster. And from this point on, it's pretty much like Bruce Willis's character from the first Die Hard movie was John Wick.
Yeah, kind of.
And that he's the everyman. Whereas Keanu Reeves, the first time you see him, you go, I wouldn't mess with that guy. It's John Wick. I mean, he's just like a normal guy. But you're like, yeah, that guy's, something's up with that dude. He's way too cool for me to even stand in his shadow. But Bob Odenkirk is just a guy. He's Joe Normal, Joe Everyman.
The only good thing in his life is when shit goes to hell and like they get robbed and everybody's giving him shit. His father-in-law, Michael Ironside's like, you talk to your wife? Yeah. Be cool? Yeah, you know, as long as you're taking care of it, it's like, it's like, oh, cool. His father-in-law's at least the one guy who's not a shithead to him. Great. He's got one thing going for him.
But even then, his father-in-law's like, he's like, wants to buy his father-in-law's company. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, kind of was hoping to make more of a profit. He's like, but this is a totally reasonable offer. He's like, yeah, but I kind of wanted more. He's like, and even then he's kowtows. He's like, yeah, okay, fine. I get it. He really doesn't have a corner to go to until we find out. And like I said, you can't compare a movie to John Wick this much without it being clear. This everyman is not what he appears at all.
I wonder if we didn't see like any trailers for it and kind of know that there is something else going on here, like kind of going into it just not knowing anything, that he is like an ultimate badass or basically a John Wick in disguise. I also wonder if the movie would have worked even better if it was more like Falling Down, where you get to see just Bob Odenkirk actually try to kick ass as a normal dude. But it's still really enjoyable. It seemed every now and then it was a little tonally off. There are moments in the lines where like, well, if he is like that serious, he's like, he wouldn't say that line about the kitty bracelet in that way or something, but it's still pretty fun. It's just awesome to see this odd dude that Bob Odenkirk has now in his late career, watching everything from like Mr. Show and on, and then seeing this for him in like Better Call Saul, and you're like, this is awesome that Hollywood is giving, of all people, him this chance to do these things.
What's interesting about this movie is that it was like sort of a passion project for Bob Odenkirk, because a home invasion happened to him in his real life and he handled it
right,
the way that you should, where there was like some naked methed out guy and he just locked him in the basement, and afterwards the cops were like, oh man, if it were me, I would have just done this, but you did the right thing.
Mixed messages, Jesus, cops.
Yeah. But I personally found this movie to be an absolute blast.
Oh, same.
I see where you guys are getting with the Falling Down thing. I think that's actually where I like the movie more, is that it didn't really feel like that same sort of examination on masculinity, because as much as he is the last person you want to fuck with, he really is the last person you want to fuck with in this movie. He's not some normal guy who's unlocking this part of himself. He's this guy who has already unlocked this part of himself, trying to imitate, you know, wolf in sheep's clothing. This didn't reinvent the wheel or anything, but it's a pretty fucking awesome looking wheel that they created here.
There's some parts where you kind of see it coming. There's like what happens with his neighbor. Well, that's telegraphed. You still get that great moment when it happens, because one, this is shot so well. Every little bit of those scenes, like when he's walking out to that one car and he second guesses his thought, like the little things, like the neighbors around, or when there's the big gunfight at the end, all the little signs they have around that are perfectly there for humor, of like safety measures and all that. No, these are all great. And all those shots are just the right edge of a corner around and angled around a wall where you see the guys come around just get blasted. Like, it's everything you kind of want from taking John Wick and saying, we're going to kind of be a bit more irreverent with this than John Wick's precision. It's just going to be a little bit more brutal. And it does end on one of the best, like, giant all-out gunfight scenes I can picture in recent film.
The big ending scene also brought back memories of The Equalizer.
Oh, for sure. Because
there's a lot of that stuff going on in here as well. Because this is a mishmash of a bunch of different action films and ideas from action films. And I think for me, that's where it felt tonally off. Like, at first, I'm like, okay, well, clearly this is going to be something to do with how toxic people's feelings about what masculinity is supposed to be are. Because the audience doesn't see this guy as pathetic. We see everyone else being a fucking asshole to him because of these really stupid definitions of what masculinity is supposed to be. And then I'm like, oh no, this is going to be just like falling down, and maybe it will be one with a message I can go, okay, I'm kind of with you. Or maybe it'll be one to be like, yeah, be a man. And that's kind of where I was afraid it was going. But then it just got so goddamn absurd after that in a fun way that I was like, okay, so you just want to make a big dumb action movie, and if you do it well, I'm totally cool with that. And it did in fact do it well. The first third felt like it was going to be a movie that had more to offer than just the movie that it became. Like I said, which is fine, it just felt like we were going somewhere else.
What you're talking about is really what I find to be the biggest strength of this. The initial revenge that he could have sought out, he doesn't take because he's a rational human being, but he sees the situation that the people who invaded his house are in, and he had already psyched himself up for some crazy shit to go down. Afterwards, he punches a wall because he still wants it out, and he's just hoping for something to bring that part of him back. And I think that's what made it more interesting than, say, a John Wick. Also, the way how the action is choreographed reminded me more of like a South Korean film than it did remind me of, say, John Wick, where, you know, like, you'll have moments of John Wick where he's a little winded. But in this, like, the first moment where he's initially becoming a badass, he gets the shit handed to him, like, right away. And he gets up and almost has to re-trigger that part of himself. All the strength of this movie, besides the direction, which is incredible, and I think the writing is pretty great, is Bob Odenkirk, who really sells you that, hey, I have left this part of myself long dormant, and I'm releasing it again. And he's so matter-of-fact in the way how he looks at it. I think that's what helped get me past some of the more hammy things. Like the villains that were actually, I would say, a lot of fun. He almost looked at them at the same cliches as us critics looked at them.
The two ideas that the movie was trying to get across that I think it did one a lot more successfully than, well, you got to be a man, and like that idea, is actually more what Bob Odenkirk's point was, more about being free from that past life and like him wanting to be normal and not have to be that awful, like, misogynistic, like, crazy action-packed way. And I thought that was like a way more interesting idea that it was trying to get across, which I think it did fairly well. But of course, yeah, the last third of it is banana pants bonkers. But I will say, I never thought I ever was going to say this, but I did not know I needed a trio of a Bob Odenkirk, Christopher Lloyd, and the RZA teaming up in an action-packed scene together. I was like, and I don't know about you guys, but if they don't make at least two more movies just with the three of them doing crazy stuff, I'm like, please do that.
Do it.
Anybody who knows me knows that I'm a huge fan of the Fast and Furious franchise, but this is the family I want to see go across films.
And fight dinosaurs.
Oh,
fuck it. Cross them all over together. We keep saying, yeah, let's send Fast and Furious into space. And now they're like, the writer's like, we've actually considered crossing over with Jurassic Park. I'm like, no, fuck space.
you can just take lines that Christopher Lloyd said in Piranha 3D and be like, they're from the Cretaceous era.
I think I ended up slightly disappointed because this looked like it was going to be a smarter and more in-depth film than it was. And it ultimately is just an action film, I thought. A good one, a really good one, but one that's everything in it I've seen in other stuff, with the exception of seeing Christopher Lloyd, Bob Odenkirk, and the RZA shooting up tons of Russian mobsters. That is so absurd alone of an image. But let's go to final thoughts. Nathan, get us started.
Yeah, no, I thought this movie was a total blast. I was entertained the whole way through. I think the best thing about this movie, besides Odenkirk's performance, is the runtime. I mean, this is fucking 90 minutes. It knows exactly what it is, and then it, you know, leaves perfectly well. I do have to say, just to the strength of Bob Odenkirk, in a lot of these movies, you'll see, like, Liam Neeson as the father, or, you know, Denzel Washington as the Home Depot guy. Okay, but this guy looks a little bit abnormal in these situations. Bob Odenkirk looks like that normal guy to every level, and he most certainly is not, and I think he sold that very well. This is even a tough sell for the character that he's playing, for Keanu Reeves, to be that sort of, like, crazy badass where you can take out entire crime organizations as a ghost. Yet Odenkirk is so good in it. And his physicality even works so well that I didn't mind it. 8 out of 10 kitty cat bracelets. Fuck y'all. Try and do another one.
Right?
I have to echo a lot of what Nathan's talking about. Definitely with Bob Odenkirk, I just have a real soft spot for him. Just growing up watching, again, Mr. Show, and then him being on the Larry Sanders Show, and just watching his career to where now he gets to push himself to be this like kind of action star. We've been rewatching Breaking Bad, and we watched Better Call Saul last year,
which is amazing.
He's just such a good actor. He's like getting better with age. He's like a fine wine, and now he's doing this. And there were a couple moments in the movie as like he's kind of awesome. I know I didn't get to watch it with my girlfriend, but I wonder if she would have been like, man, he's kind of hot. I was getting really amped up just watching him being such a badass in this. Now, of course, the movie itself and the story is nothing like too original at all. And some of the themes get muddied, but I did really have a good time with it. And I will definitely watch it again. And so I'll give it 7 out of 10. God damn it! Bob Odenkirk would say in Mr. Show.
Ben?
I think I'm a lot closer to Nathan on this one. I'm the only one of us who saw it in a theater, which this is the kind of movie that you want to return to a theater for, because, oh my God, the action in this is just so perfect for a big screen, because like there's a great bit where he's in a car and the way it just plays out is just so just over the top, stupid, brilliant. I enjoyed just every minute of this movie. I don't think it was this big thing about masculinity. I think it's more of that thing he has that line towards the end of, I thought I could be a normal guy. I might have overcompensated, but I'm not a normal guy. And it's like, that's what this is about, is like, don't try to cover up a part of yourself and try to over-normalize. And it takes it to a very crazy extreme, because that's what this movie is. But dear God, is it fun? Yeah, it's got some weaknesses. They do overdo a little bit sometimes with that joke of when he's telling some of his story for exposition. They try to play the same joke twice for that. And like the second time, it's still funny, don't get me wrong. But it's like, yeah, we saw that coming, and you dragged the scene out a little bit further than you had to. I can't recommend this movie enough. If you're looking for a fun action movie, especially if you're looking to go back to the theaters where nothing else is in the theater right now, do yourself a favor and put this on your list to see it. 8.5 out of 10, terrible abuses of vinyl collections. Dear God.
I wish I liked it as much as at least Nathan and Ben did. I'm mixed about it. I actually didn't care for this at all for the first 20 minutes of it. I was like, I'm not into this. I don't know where it's going, but I find it kind of distasteful and not fun to watch. It wasn't until it really started to have fun with itself that I started enjoying it at all. And even then, it was so tonally inconsistent. It's kind of all over the place. Is it a satire of these things? Is this an absurdist comedy? Or is it a straight-up ass-kicking action film? It's okay to do that, but it left me confused because the beginning was so straight. The first 20 minutes is played so straight and serious that it felt really strange to turn it around the way it did. I like the mythology, but we've seen it before. I mean, this is the John Wick mythology, basically, just with a slightly different take on it. There's nothing really original here outside of the bizarreness of the cast, but it's fun to watch. I don't disagree. I had a really good time once I got past that certain point. I don't agree either that he got the physicality perfectly. I didn't think he did. I didn't think he nailed it. I kept going, yeah, I don't believe Bob Odenkirk is the guy who would be physically able to do this stuff. And it doesn't look convincing, but looks convincing enough. Doesn't look super fakey or anything. It's just, I wouldn't for a second compare his work in this film, the physical action work, with what, because we keep comparing it, Keanu Reeves does in the John Wick films, where it is convincing. It's still a good time. If you go into this sort of like, look, try not to take it too seriously. Everything is way over the top. Everything's super exaggerated, but by the end, you'll be laughing and cheering and what have you. I think you'll end up having a good time. It's a decent film, although I don't want them to do sequels because I don't want Bob Odenkirk get stuck in the, oh, here's the guy who's the everyman who just does action movies. I want him to be able to do whatever the fuck he wants. I want him to play a vampire in the next film and like a dark drama sequel to Only Lovers Left Alive or some shit, you know? I don't care. Just something different and new because I think he's capable of it. He is a really great actor and has a lot of range. And like I said, I think he plays the character here really well, just doesn't 100% nail the physicality of it. But I'm going to give this the story of 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 Everest. See, Wright got it at least.
I love you so much.
Bob Odenkirk, if you are listening, Chris doesn't seem to think you have the physicality. So Chris's address is...
Whoever consistently does his hair, though, in any of the movies that he's doing and TV shows, that deserves an Oscar right there, because he has great looking hair for a very bald man.
He does. That is true. Yeah. Extra plug points.
Oh, fuck you, man.